but in outside of Joburg, Johannesburg, South Africa, is a mission, an orphanage, in the city of Welkom, South Africa. And it was started by a couple from the church that I pastored in Colorado, David and Sally Seyfried. And the last time I heard David preach, he's with the Lord now, he preached from this text in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I thought it would be a very appropriate. It comes to mind every once in a while. And this would be, I think, a neat thing to fill our minds with on this New Year's Day. And even to let this sink deep within our hearts. So I'm going to mention one passage and then one story. Okay, I can't hardly get away from a story. But this is an account of King David. And David and his men returned to Ziklag. And the Amalekites, in their absence, had come in and destroyed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. And they captured all the women and children and took them away. God told David. David rushed to the Lord and asked what he should be doing. What can he do in retribution? And God encouraged him and commanded him literally to pursue the army and to get the women and children back. And so he did. And he took 600. He took several hundred men, and they pursued. And when they got toward the rescue, then they arrived at a brook called the Brook Besor. And at that point, you may be really familiar with the story. 200 of the men were under intense fatigue and couldn't continue. So David basically told them to stay put. And we know from the account that he kind of left all of the baggage with them, all of the supplies with them, so that the other 400 could pursue the enemy unhindered. And they went. Verse 21 of 1 Samuel 30 says they went, and then David came near to the people. This is after they conquered the enemy, and they came back to these 200, and he saluted them. In verse 21. Now that's kind of what caught my attention, is because in the Hebrew culture that would have meant a favorable greeting as he saluted them. In other words, he was saying, even by his salute, he was saying, "We did it. We conquered them." And the men that were the 400 fighting men knew what David was saying by his salute, because they took offense at that. They were wondering, "Wait a minute, these 200, they didn't do the fighting. We did." And in verse 23, David said, the scripture says, "Then David said, 'You shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, and who hath preserved with us, and delivered the company that came against us into our hand.'" Verse 24, "For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as for his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." So in other words, the 200 that stayed and the 400 that went were considered one team. And they would then share in the victory as well as the spoils of the battle. And as I heard David Seyfried preach on this text, he just used the phrase, "Stay by the stuff. Stay by the stuff." And I think sometimes we may even look at those who are preaching or missionaries or assertive in evangelism as doing the real work. But according to this text, we who are staying by the stuff, if you will, the praying army, not that we're fatigued, But those who have been entrusted with the baggage, those who have been entrusted with the praying, if you will, have as much reward in the harvest as those who are on the front line. And I would just like to encourage us that this is important business. This is business of the Lord. This is aggressive business of the Lord. This is the unseen business. I found it very interesting in reading some of Spurgeon that he said, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. Now, that's not a demeaning story about preachers, because if you know Spurgeon, he was the prince of preachers. But it is indicative of the weight that Spurgeon placed on even praying. And then Andrew Murray was mentioned yesterday. Andrew Murray said this: the man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history. So there is something very special about our praying. There's something very powerful about our praying. Staying by the stuff and being part of the army and the aggression of the army. So maybe even think of this as we go into the new year. As we grow in prayer, we're growing in strength, in staying by the stuff. If we grow in number, then those who are staying by the stuff are increasing and really fueling the advance of the gospel. And even putting the wind in the sails for those who would be, if you will, on the front line. Even though God has called us to be on the front line as well. So with that, let me encourage, if you can mute your, make sure you're muted. Thank you. With that, I think you would be encouraged, as Stephen has commented often about the New York City prayer meeting, 1857 to 1859. That started, the first day of that was in September and of 1857. And that reached around, I reached many places in the U.S. One of those places was Chicago. And a man from Kalamazoo, Michigan, was in Chicago and took the burden of the revival back to Kalamazoo, Michigan, with a prayer meeting. And he launched his own prayer meeting. And this is the record. So there's lots of records about things that were splinters off the New York City prayer meeting. This is one of them. And the record states this: the first meeting was packed. And to maintain order, the leader asked people to write their requests on slips of paper and pass them to the front, where they would be read aloud. The first note read this: please pray for my husband's conversion. He is far from God and needs our prayers. Well, right after that, a lawyer stood up in the meeting and announced that that note must have been written by his wife, that he was far from God, and he encouraged the people to pray for his conversion. And then right after that, a blacksmith stood and said, no, that note was written by my wife, and that I need to be converted. And right after that, another husband stood, and in the course of 5 minutes, five husbands accepted Jesus as Savior as a result of God's people praying, even as a result of a request that was mentioned. So I would encourage us to stay by the stuff. And we can pray for people that we know that are unbelieving, and pray for those who are giving the gospel this year. Pray for ourselves as we give the gospel.